from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny.
We're going to give the American people a huge tax cut for Christmas.
Republican legislators say they've reached a tax overhaul compromise, which they plan to pass next week. David Wessel of the Brookings Institution will help us break down the deal. Then at 10:30, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said yesterday that the high stock market valuation is not overvalued. But some analysts fear we're in another bubble. We'll get an update on the market. It's coming up after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Republican leaders yesterday reached a compromise deal for a sweeping tax overhaul, and under the plan, the corporate tax rate would get lowered to 21% and the top tax rate for individuals reduced to 37%. David Wessel, director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution, joins us to discuss the latest version and to take your questions. And welcome, David Wessel.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Good to have you with us. Let me begin by saying that there is a name on this tax bill. It's called the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I wonder, you know, if maybe we could get some thoughts from you initially, because they're trying to rush this through by Christmas, about jobs. There was a Gary Cohen moment that I mentioned on the air just the other day where he asked a bunch of CEOs, how many of you are going to hire more people as a result of this tax cut, and very few hands went up. So I'm wondering about that title, Jobs Act with tax cuts.
Well, it's certainly a tax cut, so that it's at least 50% accurate, the title. The Gary Cohn thing you mentioned is not quite right. What happened was he was at a Wall Street Journal conference, and one of the Wall Street Journal editors asked the executives, would they increase investment if the tax cut passed? And very few of them raised their hands. And that's really crucial, because if all this does is put more money in the hands of people who are already wealthy, it's not going to create any jobs. It's going to make rich people richer. If, on the other hand, it leads more companies to invest because they can keep more of their profits, or for some companies to move production back to the U.S., then it will be a plus for jobs. I think it's really – we don't really know. I think it's pretty clear that the administration and the most fervent backers of the bill are exaggerating this. And the way you know that is to look at what the more seasoned analysts, like the people at the Joint Tax Committee of Congress, say. And they'll say it'll have a little boost to growth. So that means a little boost to employment. But we're already pretty close to full employment, so it's not clear how much difference this can make in the near term.
And we should mention that all of this has to be evaluated by the Joint Committee on Taxation. They want to get the vote in by next week. And let's talk about what's in it. This is the reconciliation between the House and the Senate. I mentioned that there's going to be a cut to 21 from 20 on the corporate tax rate. President Trump talked about 20 as a red line for him, though. What does this mean, actually?
Well, the corporate tax rate is now up to 35%. Some companies actually end up paying 35%. A lot of companies don't pay 35% because they have so many deductions and credits and exclusions. So this will bring the maximum rate down to 21%. As you point out, it's a little higher than the president's red line, but I think we have learned that the president's negotiating style is to ask for something, get as much as he can, and then declare victory. And I would say, to be fair to the president, if you sign a bill that brings the corporate tax rate down from 35% to 21%, there aren't going to be any businesses complaining that it didn't get down to 20%. This is a big tax cut for business. It's a big bet by the Republicans. If you cut taxes for business, they will invest more, they will hire more, we'll get faster productivity growth, and we'll all live happily ever after. I think they're exaggerating the effects of that. I think they're right about the direction. And so we'll have to see what happens.
How much of this has to do, the political question to some extent, because I heard Senator Bernie Sanders opining on this. He was talking about the fact that there were swarming lobbyists all over the Republicans on this. And he said that 64%, that was the figure he gave, of this tax bill goes to the top 1% in the United States. And even some of the people who get cuts have to wait about 20 years before those cuts are gone, but no public hearings. And he particularly said children's health, which really demands some attention now, is not getting the attention.
Well, that's right. I don't know about Bernie Sanders' number, but if you just look at the tax bill itself, disproportionate amount of the benefits go to people at the top because they own the stock and corporations. They are the people who have pass-through businesses, and they are the people who pay at the top rate, which is going down. So there's no doubt about that. I think that the haste is a really good point. This is nuts. This thing is going to have we're going to have a really hard time administering this tax bill. There's not going to be a lot of time to write the rules that give people advice because they want it to take effect immediately. We're already seeing memos from law firms talking about how they're figuring out how if you're now an employee, you can of your own company, if you change the legal form of ownership and to you become a business of some kind, you can be taxed differently and save a lot of money. We always get into trouble when we tax the same kind of income different ways depending on what we label it. And in this case, there's lots of different taxes for business, tax rates for business. There also are a whole lot of little things in there that are clearly lobbyist driven. One obvious one is that there's a real tax break for liquor companies, the lower tax on beer and wine and liquor sales. And that there's no great economic rationale for that. That's just somebody doing a favor for a powerful interest.
We should also mention that Janet Yellen just yesterday warned about the debt on this, and any discussion of this tax bill brings that into picture as well. But there's also a lowering, as I said in my introduction, of the top individual tax rate of 37% from essentially the current 39.6, and that's more generous than the Senate proposal at 38.5. So give us a picture, if you could, of what's involved there, David Wessel.
Well, look, the tax code has a number of functions. One function is to raise money for the government in the most efficient way. And a lot of economists think that if you have lower rates and fewer deductions and credits and exclusions and loopholes, that the economy will work better. And that's what's generally meant by tax reform. But earlier discussions of tax reform always acknowledge that you want to bring in at least as not much money as you did before. And this one doesn't do that. So it's really important not only that we're cutting rates, but what are we buying with this? And the other function of the tax code is to reduce the inequality that the market would otherwise produce. We know that that winners and losers in the American job market are growing further and further apart. By every measure, inequality is growing. And what this tax bill does is reduce the extent to which the tax code is used to narrow the outcomes between winners and losers. That's a political judgment. It's not one I would make if I were a member of Congress. But the narrowing the gap between the rich and the poor, between the rich and the middle class, is not a priority for the Republicans at this point, and they're not doing that. But it is really important that this loses a lot of revenue, $1 trillion over 10 years, because someday someone's going to have to pay for that. Maybe we'll get some help from more growth, but someone's taxes are going to be raised or someone's benefits are going to be cut in the future because they have this big money-losing tax bill.
Looking at the cover of this morning's San Francisco paper, The Chronicle, about the tax bill, and the director of California Department of Finance, Michael Cohen, put out a 3-page letter, which they allude to in this article, to the California congressional delegation, and he's warning that this legislation would fail to produce the growth Republicans are expecting, harm middle-class taxpayers by limiting their ability to deduct state and local taxes, and, quote, jeopardize thousands of jobs in clean energy by eliminating the tax credit for electric vehicles, among other things. But yet, the kind of blowback is going on in California. There was a lot of it going on here earlier on, as well as in New Jersey and New York. To some extent, the compromise between the House and the Senate took that into account. It took some other things into account, like the graduate student tax. That's gone. It changed the mortgage interest deduction from $1 million to $750,000. So there's a lot that's sort of protean here that's taking different shape as we're speaking.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't actually have the final version yet. Like, it's not clear to me anyways what they're doing with something called the child tax credit, which has been a pet project of Senator Marco Rubio, the Republican from Florida. But I think there are two different things you mentioned there. One is if you're going to have tax reform, if you're going to say we want to lower tax rates, it's a completely coherent view that we will get rid of some deductions, credits, and exclusions. If you just lower tax rates and you don't get rid of something, the mortgage interest deduction, the charity deduction, the health care, all those things, if you don't get rid of something, you don't raise very much money. And the problem with tax reform is that every one of those tax breaks is in there for a particular reason, either a social purpose or because there was a very strong interest group. So some of that tension we're seeing, and I don't think it's California directed, but I do think that the state and local tax deduction thing is clearly, and they've been explicit about this, aimed at states which choose to have higher taxes so they can provide more public services. And those tend to be the states that are more democratic. And so the Republicans have written a bill that they recognize will have a disproportionate effect on blue states and red states. And the political problem they have is that California, New York has some Republican members of the House. And they had to buy those people off if they're going to vote for a bill that their constituents don't like. So it's pretty tricky politics there.
Yeah, there was a compromise on the state and local tax deductions.
Right, you're going to get $10,000 for something, although it's not clear if it's property or income or what.
David Wessel is with us. He's director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution. And he's going to be with us only for the half hour. So please join us with any questions you might have or thoughts about this being called reconciliation. Again, the name of it is Tax Cuts and Job Act. It has President Trump's name on it. He said he wouldn't veto it. Join us toll free. 866-733-6786 is the number for your questions or comments. And you can join us now by calling us at that number. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us forum@kqed.org or posting questions or comments onto our website, kqed.org/forum. And you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I know you've written a lot about this, and I want to just get a kind of quick trenchant, cogent view from you about what we've learned about the role of taxes in terms of driving the economy. When I say you've written a lot about this, I mean you've written also about different times, like Reagan in 1981 and spending cuts that didn't occur and deficit being increased, but also writing about other tax cuts, which in the past have sort of proven that the larger the tax cuts, the more the tax increases.
Right. So the first thing is that we know from the lesson of the 1980s is when Ronald Reagan signed a really big tax cut in 1981, it didn't produce the growth that some of his advisors had expected. It didn't pay for itself. The deficit projections went through the roof, although relative today, they don't look so bad today, and because we had a lot lower debt then. And they ended up increasing taxes several times in Reagan's presidency. So one lesson is, when they overdo it, when they cut taxes too much, the tendency is to undo that by raising taxes. And if this is like the 80s, I would expect there will be some tax increases of some form over the next several years. The second lesson is that a lot of attention is paid at times like this to the effect that tax rates have on individuals' willingness to work, on businesses' willingness to invest, on the pace of economic growth. But the evidence is that, that we exaggerate, or politicians exaggerate that effect. The 1986 Tax Reform Act, the one that Reagan signed, which was very different than this one, it was designed to raise as much money as the old tax code did. It actually raised taxes on business to give a tax cut to individuals. There were a lot of talk about how this was going to make the tax code more efficient and the economy was going to grow more rapidly after that. Well, it did make the tax code a little cleaner. It probably extended the life of the tax code by getting rid of some of the barnacles on it. But there's no evidence that it really increased the pace of business investment or economic growth. So particularly when they're passing tax bills, members of Congress have a tendency to exaggerate its effect, either positive or negative, on the economy, I think.
Let's bring in our callers. Leslie, you're first up here. Good morning.
Hi there, Michael. I have two questions. My first question is, now that the corporate tax rate is being reduced to 21%, will those corporations still have access to the same loopholes where they're actually paying less than 21%? And then my next question would be, how will the tax bill affect capital gains?
Good questions, both. David Wessel, loopholes and capital gains. Yeah.
So basically, the short answer is they didn't get rid of a lot of the loopholes and exclusions and credits in the corporate tax. They got rid of some of them. And the reason this is so expensive, the reason it loses so much money for the Treasury, is because they just lowered the rate. But for some companies, it won't. They won't have to take these loopholes, take advantage of these loopholes, as you call them, because the rate will be lower. It doesn't change anything on the capital gains rate. It does change a little bit of technical thing. If you own a lot of shares in a company or a mutual fund that you bought over time, then used to be you could pick which ones you were choosing to sell if you sold some of them, and you'd pick the ones that you paid the most for. They're not going to let you do that anymore.
Let me try to get as many of your calls in here as I can. Let me go next to William. William, join us.
Yes, thank you very much. I very much appreciate the guest's balanced approach, first. I want to say that. But I would appreciate the guest's comments on what the effect will be on the employer health care mandate and what the effect will be on corporate inversions.
So I don't believe there's any changes to the employer health mandate. There is, and I don't know where they ended up on the individual mandate. There are trying to attach to the bill a repeal of the mandate from the Affordable Care Act that says that all individuals in the United States, all Americans, have to get health insurance. I think it's still not clear whether they can put that in the bill and get it through the Senate, but it seems likely. There are some provisions that are designed to make corporate inversions less attractive. I don't think that they put in any of the kind of regulatory or penalty things that were being talked about earlier. But as I said, we haven't seen the text yet, and that's one of the things that's really important, to look at the details and then see how do these things play out, because we're learning that there are a lot of unintended consequences when you try and rewrite the tax code in a hurry without having hearings and without waiting for the staff to really vet the bill.
And I should mention that there's been some talk about pushback on the health care changes that were done in the deal with Senator Susan Collins.
Right.
We don't know how that's going to play out. And you mentioned earlier about the child tax credit, from the perspective of, some contentiousness is going on in terms of getting this through. Marco Rubio is very exercised about that. We're assuming,
most of us in Washington are assuming, that in the end, enough of the Republican senators will vote for this, so it'll get through. It's kind of interesting, though, that Vice President Mike Pence has just canceled a trip to the Middle East.
Yeah.
So he can be in the chair in the Senate in case there's a tie, which leads you to believe that this could be really down to the wire, and in which case, somebody may be negotiating something that we don't know about to be the 51st vote in the Senate.
And Senator McCain has gone back, sadly enough, into the hospital with his glioblastoma, brain cancer. But let's get some more of your calls on. Mark, join us. You're on.
I just wondered if you could speak to this idea that if you lower the corporate tax rate, that the companies will be incentivized to invest more in research and development, when it was always my understanding that investing in research and development already was something they could write off of their taxes.
So the argument is that if you allow people to keep more of the profits they get for an investment, they'll make more investment. That's the theory that we're going to test. If you tell companies you can keep 80% of the money you make and give the government 20, will you be willing to invest more money, take more risks, than if we tell you you can only keep 65% and the government takes 35%. That's the challenge.
Again, David Wessel is director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at Brookings Institution. And Alex is our next caller. Alex, join us. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, hi. Thank you. I wanted to make two points. One, they seem to be willfully ignoring, or at least ignoring, supply and demand. Just because you have more money doesn't mean you hire employees. You hire employees when the demand for your product warrants it and you need more employees. Furthermore, on the investment end, I wonder how much of that investment will be in automation, costing jobs in the long term, and in the case of maybe Boeing or Southwest needing more airplanes, getting internationally sourced materials and putting the money abroad in that sense.
Yeah, David Wessel.
Well, you're right, but this is a tax cut. Let's not mistake it. So there will be more money in the hands of American business and consumers if this thing passes than there is before, and that generally increases demand. So this could lead to increased demand. Janet Yellen spoke about this at her press conference yesterday. It's not clear how much this will increase demand and how much will it increase supply. Yes, of course, there's a lot of business investing in automation, and that's kind of a big topic, is our investments in automation and technology? Are we going to run out of jobs? Are we going to create some good jobs and people are going to have to leave other jobs and go there? That's kind of a big question. But in general, we think it's better for America if businesses invest more and invest more here, because that leads us to be more productive. And that means they can afford to pay higher wages. And that means that our kids will live better than we do. Does some of it leak overseas because we're in a global economy? Yes. But some of it comes back, too, when we're more productive, our stuff is better, and they buy more of our stuff. So I think that's a really complicated question. And it's one of those things that really the tax bill isn't going to make that much difference on. What happens with automation and globalization are really big questions, and taxes are a very small part of what determines that.
Well, we mentioned jobs back and forth, and I'm looking at a question from a listener who wants to know. Corey asked, the corporate tax rate was cut, but let me read another comment first. Bill wants to know about the estate tax. I wanted to go to that because it's being kept in this package that's been worked out between House and Senate. He wants to know, how does exempting huge estates from taxation create jobs?
It doesn't.
Yeah. All right. Now, here's Corey, who says the corporate tax rate was cut, but what happened to the promise of eliminating the corporate deductions?
They eliminated some, but in a political world, it turns out that there wasn't a lot of pressure on them to get rid of those things. And once they decided that they could have a bill in the Senate that lost $1.5 trillion, the pressure to find ways to pay for the tax cuts went away. So that's unfortunate.
And Noel wants to know, does this still mean that those of us in high tax states will have to pay more?
I think it really depends on your circumstances. It is true that you will lose some in high tax states, especially if you're a high income person, you're going to lose the benefits of some of the state and local tax deduction. But on the other hand, depending on your circumstances, you may be paying taxes at a lower rate. If you're a low to moderate income worker who didn't itemize deductions anyways, you'll get advantage of a higher standard deduction. On the other hand, if you have a lot of kids, they did away with the personal exemption so it really depends on your circumstance.
And Sebastian wants to know, will this tax bill close the country's deficit? Is government spending going down in line with these tax deductions?
No, the answer is no. The answer is no. It will raise less money than the current tax code. There will be pressure to cut spending. House Speaker Paul Ryan has already talked about his determination to tackle Social Security and health care entitlements next year, which is kind of interesting. I don't quite understand the politics of talking about that. So one of the reasons Democrats argue against this is that first you're going to cut taxes, then you're going to say we don't have enough money, and then you're going to have to tell us that we have to cut government spending programs that we and our constituents value. So that's a real risk. This will not make government smaller. This will just make government revenue smaller.
David Wetzel, appreciate so much you being with us. Thank you kindly.
You're so welcome.
David Wetzel is director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution. When we come back, we're going to talk about the stock market and why it has continued to go up under the Trump administration this year of the Trump presidency, and look globally as well. Stay tuned.